claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you get your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Let me wish every veteran, but every American family, a wonderful Memorial Day. We have much to treasure, hold ourselves proud of, but also much to be concerned about in this day and age, because there are movements afoot that are out to destroy the very principles upon which this nation was founded and for which so many of us have served with great pride, honor, and responsibility. We shall address some of those, but as you well know, they include the coronavirus pandemic, which was manufactured, where efforts are taking place, already accomplished, to use it as a cover for mail-in voting and to steal the election from Donald Trump, which appears to have been an overwhelming victory of some 410 electoral votes when Sidney Powell published an electoral map before the revision took place. Trump had a decisive victory. It's so ironic that the Democrats now are going after anyone who complains that the election was illegitimate when there's a mass of evidence, whether it's coming from Sidney or from L. Lynn Wood or coming from Mike Lindell or other sources. Just take a look at the Texas lawsuit the Supreme Court declined to review. And you can see there's massive evidence, overwhelming in the case of 2020. And yet the Democrats are attacking anyone as a conspiracy theorist or a nut job if they raise these questions, when we just had to endure 4 years nonstop of Democrat complaints about the stolen election of 2016, which was indeed rigged, but for Hillary Clinton, not for Donald Trump. We know it was voters in rural counties who turned out in mass to support Trump that made the difference. Today, I'm very pleased to be joined by a law enforcement expert, Danny Siras. After we review the very first story, we're going to go into the San Jose shooting, which has all the earmarks of a false flag. Danny does brilliant work on this, just as he has on other cases with me. We go back to the Kobe Bryant crash, which appears also to have been another staged event, but many others in between. I begin, however, with Natural News and Mike Adams, where he's been reporting about the risks of the COVID vaccine, which have all been thoroughly documented by many others, including, for example, Sherry Tenpenny, who's described these mRNA vaccines as perfectly designed killing machines, and where we have a report from a French virologist that I've just learned has been claimed to have been an exaggeration of his actual views that were mistranslated. I'll comment on that right away. In the meanwhile, Mike Adams has issued very distressing news about Natural News. Of course, he's known as the Health Ranger. Here we have a report. Health Ranger Mike Adams received a phone call from a man who said he's with the U.S. government. The caller gave Adams a warning he should stop writing about the dangers of COVID vaccines and saying it's part of a depopulation agenda about which, in my opinion, there can be no doubt. If Adams doesn't stop, the caller advised a website, Brighteon.com, will be seized. Mike Adams will be prosecuted on some fabricated pretext. I mean, this is outrageous. The caller explained, the Biden administration has been told by globalists, no doubt, it must achieve a 70% vaccination rate for adult Americans. Apparently, over the next few years, this will result in the desired reduction in the population, where, let me remind you, Deagle.com is projecting that the U.S. population, 330 million in 2020, will have dropped to, get this, 65 million in 2025. In a five-year period, we're going to lose over 225 million Americans. Mr. Adams has decided, as a consequence, to self-censor and stop discussing the dangers of the COVID vaccines until the number of deaths caused by the vaccines can no longer be covered up by the government and the mainstream media. Similarly, Mike Adams reports a health advocate, Dr. Mercola, had to remove articles from his website exposing the vaccine fraud and suggesting natural alternatives to treat COVID-19, which, as listeners to this show will know, includes HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, but also ivermectin, which appears to be completely successful. Let me also mention in passing that in Russia, they undertook an autopsy of a COVID-19 patient, a death, a decedent, in spite of the WHO recommending against it. And guess what? They discovered that the COVID patients were dying from blood clots. So they put the patients on an aspirin regimen. I mean, this is almost comic. You know, take two aspirin and see me in the morning, because aspirin dissolves blood clots, and they released 14,000 patients from Russian hospitals in one day. 14,000 released in one day after an aspirin regimen. Adams has expressed concern his other websites, such as naturalnews.com, might be shut down as well. There's a real serious problem here when threats of harm can be used to induce individuals to stop doing good work. Now, here's something I've reported now at least a half a dozen times, possibly more, that I was told this morning. Judy Mikovits is disputing that Luc Montagnier would never say what is attributed to him here, where he's a French virologist among the most famous in the world, a joint Nobel Prize recipient. Here's what was attributed to him. In the shocking interview, the world's top virologist stated blankly, there is no hope and no possible treatment for them, meaning those who have been given the mRNA vaccines. Those are Moderna and Pfizer. We must be prepared to incinerate the bodies. All of them will die within 2 years. They will all die from antibody-dependent enhancement. Nothing more can be said. That's obviously a stunning report, profoundly disturbing, and I'm worried. Either way, I mean, if Sherry Tenpenny has already explained these are perfectly designed killing machines, and that seems rather consistent with what Luc Montagnier is reporting to us. Very pleased to have Danny here today. Danny, would you like to share your thoughts about this first story vis-a-vis Natural News' Mike Adams and the threats thereby entailed?
Yeah, hello, Dr. Fetzer. Good to be with you today. You know, I heard that report the other day that Mike Adams put out, along with this retraction that he actually posted on that. And it, you know, of course, it caught my ear. It was very disturbing to think that somebody would call him that was credible enough, the way he put it on his broadcast, to threaten him in the way that they did, to make him pull down a retraction. It's very, very disturbing. Obviously, you know, the word is out. People are learning. I think people are not getting the vaccine as much as they're even telling us on the news. It's kind of like the fake polls of the election, because most everybody I know is not getting the vaccine that I run into anyway. So we'll have to see what happens. But yeah, it's very disturbing when they start calling journalists and threatening them and getting them to take down their work, for sure.
Yeah, profoundly disturbing. And of course, I mean, how many reports do we have to make? I have been reporting on the coronavirus virtually every day for more than a year now. For more than a year, I've been reporting virtually every day. And all the evidence that I can see adds up to the whole pandemic being a fraud, that the real threat is not from COVID-19, but from the vaccines, where Catherine Austin Fitz, among others, has been emphasizing that these are not real vaccines. They are not medicine, and therefore they do not deserve to be for protection from liability, because they have been authorized on an emergency basis by the FDA, Danny. I believe, number one, that no one can be required to take them lawfully. Since it's an experimental procedure, it's covered by the Nuremberg Code, which requires that everyone must be given informed consent, that it's a voluntary procedure. They need to be given information about all the risks and all the hazards, which include a mass of neurological, physiological damages, where it appears that hundreds of thousands have died from these vaccines. I have no doubt whatsoever the number who died from the vaccines is going to overwhelm the number alleged to have died from the coronavirus, because as we have discovered, they've taken what were last year 38 million cases, not death, but cases of the flu. And this year they've disappeared to less than 2,000 because they've simply redesignated all those cases of the flu as cases of COVID-19. We know hospitals are being paid money for every COVID patient they admit, more money for everyone they put on a ventilator. This is like the greatest scam the world has ever seen, Danny. I am just appalled. And it's part and parcel of the Great Reset, an effort by a tiny elite of a few thousand, maybe as many as six, and their minions to take control of the entirety of planet Earth. I mean, if that sounds audacious, that is what they are about. And they're using this form of medical scientific fraud to perpetrate the hoax upon the entire world. Danny, any reflections of yours about all of what I've just covered?
Well, Dr. Fetzer, as I've said before, I have a lot of family that are in the medical system that work from doctors to nurses to, you know, respiratory therapists, you name it, all different walks. And they're just not seeing the numbers in the local hospitals. You know, in the major hospitals here where I am, we're not seeing it. There's a few people, they're calling them recovery type of patients. They don't have any acute symptoms at all. You know, at one point they supposedly tested positive with the PCR test, which we know is not very accurate, according to Dr. Yeadon, with the false positives all over the world, the way they adjust the cycles on those tests.
Yes.
So a lot of the nurses don't believe, some do, but we're not seeing the cases whatsoever. You know, I've been covering this corona death and this corona situation very closely. And, you know, I look at probably a lot closer than your average person of all the medical doctors, which is what I focus on, even ones out of the country. I watch all of their reports that get posted on the alternative because they all get, censored on the mainstream. And, the other day I saw a report on the mainstream. Actually, it was a clip of mainstream news articles that were actually showing, TV media articles that were showing all the recent deaths right after they took the shot. And then most recently, sir, one that I think I told you about, but I had a good friend of mine that, I used to spend quite a bit of time with. He was only about 57 years old, 58 years old. And for whatever reason, he's a conservative. He listens to alternative news and stuff, has a younger daughter. But I guess he went ahead for some reason and decided to get the injection. I don't know if it was for travel, for his business. I don't know why he did it. But I had lost touch with him for about a month. And I had a girlfriend of his call me out of the blue and tell me that he had passed away. His name was Scott. And I couldn't believe it. When the news came in, I said, "You got to be joking." So I immediately called his father, and his father told me what happened. And what had happened was Scott, 2 weeks prior to that, had got the injection. But this last that week when he passed away, he came down with a flu-type symptoms with a bad hacking cough to go with it. And his father was talking to him on the phone every night. And he decided to go to bed early this one evening telling his father that, he just wasn't feeling well. He didn't understand what was going on, and he was going to go to bed early. Well, that night, sir, he never woke up. And it was just just unbelievable. He had no health issues. And then he never woke up. And then the coroner's report came out. This is according to his father. The coroner's report came out and said that he had had a heart attack due to blood clots.
Blood clots.
Blood clots that showed up. This is what the coroner put in the medical examiner, whatever you want to call him, put in the report that he had developed blood clots that led to a heart attack in the middle of the night when he fell asleep. And that was the cause of his death. And they put him down as a COVID-19 death. And, that one really hit me pretty hard because I was just like, you got to be kidding me. I couldn't believe it. Literally 2 weeks after he had the injection, he passed away. And I'm seeing that all over the country. I see doctors, I'm smart enough that when I see these doctors with 20, 30, 40 years of experience from all over the world come out and warn us directly, stay away from the COVID shot. It's killing people. I see nurses dying. I see doctors that are dying. I see all kinds of medical people that have died, passed out. And I can actually tell you there's been nurses here locally that have gotten the injection that have been so severely injured that they had to go out on disability for all kinds of different medical reasons that showed up after they got the COVID injection. Ridiculous what's going on. So I've seen enough, sir, to know to stay away. Most of the people I know are completely staying away from this injection. I mean, if you're still on the fence and you're thinking about it, if you don't see what's going on, what I would say is wait another 6 months, wait another year. Let's find out what happens. Why do you want to be a rush to be a guinea pig, to be a statistic? The risk versus the reward, sir, is just not worth it. As you pointed out several times, we have hydroxychloroquine. We have ivermectin. There's other treatments that one doctor in Texas had that breathing type of treatment that he'd seen 100% success with, and with no side effects. We have a 99.5 plus chance of a survival after getting coronavirus. I've known a few people that got it. They just told me it was kind of like a light flu or a cold and went away and it goes away. They didn't have to go to the hospital and go on any kind of a respirator. What's the big rush to take some kind of a emergency-based vaccine that's not really even a vaccine? It's a DNA-altering type of drug that's killing people. And what's the big rush that you have to go out and get this thing? I don't understand. You got ivermectin. You got the other drugs we talked about, hydroxychloroquine. Why don't you just get some of those and just hang back, just use good common sense and watch what's going on in the world. Don't be a rush to be a guinea pig, sir. I just don't understand what people are thinking on this at this point, sir.
Danny, those are just perfect comments and based upon life experience. Meanwhile, we have a report from San Jose, California about a purported shooting there that looks very, very suspicious. Let me play a little bit of a clip of an initial report.
We're learning more about that deadly mass shooting and the 9 victims killed at a transportation facility in San Jose, California. Authorities say the gunman who worked at the facility used 2 pistols and had 11 magazines of ammunition, and that he took his own life when confronted by police. New surveillance video shows the suspect leaving his house for the last time moments before it erupted into flames. Now investigators are looking for a motive, as we're hearing more from the witnesses and their loved ones. ABC's Kaylee Hartung joins me live from that VTA facility in San Jose with the latest. Kaylee, we're hearing from one of the witnesses who was in the building when that shooting started. What did he have to say?
Hey, well, Diane, we've heard officials here praise the quick response of law enforcement here, saying that they saved lives. But this morning, we're starting to hear about the traumatic experiences of the victims, I'm sorry, of the employees here who survived this mass shooting. Kirk Bertolle is one of them. He's a longtime employee here at the Transportation Authority. He described his experience yesterday morning.
I just felt so helpless, so utterly hopeless to be there while this was going on and not being able to do anything. And it tore me up. It's been a change in my life forever. It was just, I had a mission to do. I had to go see if I could help anybody, save anybody, or do anything. And then when the realization that everybody was gone, it was just walk away.
And we're
Well, Danny, we got photographs of the alleged 9 victims. Of course, there were 10, because the shooter is alleged to have shot himself. They were remembered by their families, colleagues, and friends as loving, kind-hearted, and heroic. I'm very troubled by this. You've given me a rather extensive initial report. I want to follow up with you about it all. Meanwhile, in addition, we have photographs of the man's home, purportedly worth $1.2 million, but it looks as though it might actually have a value a third or less than that. We have a vehicle there for Davis Testing and Construction, which deals with septic tanks, having nothing to do with the Valley Transportation Authority. And we even have photographs of him getting in the vehicle, Danny, and he doesn't look as though he's a Valley Transportation Authority individual. The amount of guns and ammo they found is staggering. 12 guns, bombs, 25,000 bullets recovered. Danny, give us your thoughts, your preliminary assessment. I find all this really far-fetched in the extreme.
Well, you know, sir, this one is another one of those ones where, you know, when I originally saw it, I thought, you know, it could be possible that this kind of a thing happened, you know, the coronavirus, the tension, you know, people have been missing work or what have you. But, you know, I started doing background check on, you know, all the people involved with the situation that they started posting, particularly this guy they're calling the shooter. And when I looked him up, he was real. I said, wow, we finally got a shooter that shows up that's a real person. But his background was really, like, I would call extremely light. There wasn't a lot of information about him. For instance, he doesn't have any social media. He's got a pretty small family. You know, he's just a really low-key individual guy. But what I noticed, though, is going through his employment records, there was a problem. And his employment records don't show that he worked for VTA. And, of course, that kind of spikes me right away, because normally there's an MO when you look up somebody's background. You can kind of tell if that's the person they fit, you know, and you can put things together. Well, he also doesn't have any criminal record. I mean, he doesn't even have a traffic ticket. So I'm thinking, okay, that's really interesting. Why would a law-abiding citizen like this, you know, all of a sudden turn around and snap like they're telling us that he did one day when he supposedly went to work? But then, you know, in looking at his house, looking at the worth of his house, again, I looked at it, you know, he lives in a middle-class neighborhood in San Jose, but that's considered the Silicon Valley, so it's extremely expensive real estate. You know, a little three-bedroom, two-bath house there is worth over $1 million now, basically in any condition, even for a fixer-upper. So that was why the, you know, the price of the house. But if you look at the you look at the photographs that I was able to get, I did notice when he got out of that pickup truck, it kind of caught my eye, sir. On the side of the truck, I saw some writing on the door. And as far as I know, you know, I was thinking it was going to say VTA or something like that. So I started to go to work to see if I can get other photos and other stuff of the truck. And sure enough, I was able to find the truck. Not only did I find the truck sitting in his driveway, but I was able to get pictures of the truck from other sources. And I zoomed in and was able to get a picture of the door. And that's what you're showing right there. So, you know, for your audience that's watching this or will watch the rebroadcast, excuse me, they can see what it says on the door. It says Davis Perk Testing. And it's got his phone number, which is an out of the area code phone number for the area of San Jose where he lives. As a matter of fact, it's quite far from where he lives. And it has his contractor's number. So I'm thinking, wow, he's got a contractor's license, he's got a number. So what that led me to do is let me just go ahead and check out this company. So I looked into this company, and sure enough, it is a legit company. It's a registered company, and it's in Sebastopol, California, which is way up next to Santa Rosa, California. It's about approximately 2 to 2.5 hours north of San Jose, California. So then I started looking into that, and it turns out that this gentleman does have a background in doing this sort of thing. But he does not have a background or any employment records that shows him working for the VTA. And we see him with his vehicle. Now, why would a guy like this be driving that worked for a VTA? Why would he be registered with this company in Santa Rosa as a contractor working, doing perk testing and other construction projects, engineering, like it says? Why would he be driving their vehicle, having it in his driveway? Okay, and then I'd like everybody to focus, if they could, our viewers. There's a photo, two photos of him getting out of the truck. Now, when he's getting out of the truck, that is the passenger side of the truck. So they said, you know, and the media said, well, here's a picture of him heading to work.
Danny, we're up against a break. We'll continue with Danny Cirrus and the shooting in San Jose after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer with Danny Saris, and we're talking about the San Jose shooting at what's supposed to be the Valley Transportation Authority. I will be taking calls, but on a delayed basis, because we want to cover all the stories before we begin to take the calls. For those of you who need the number, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, but I may not open the line until a quarter past or even half past the second hour. So we're continuing with Danny here. Danny, since you mentioned his getting out of the vehicle, they include that footage here in the ABC report. So I'm going to go back to capture just that part of it, and then you can comment on each whatever you like here. This is the opening segment I had regarding this particular development.
And we're learning more about that deadly mass shooting and the 9 victims killed at a transportation facility in San Jose, California. Authorities say the gunman who worked at the facility used 2 pistols and had 11 magazines of ammunition, and that he took his own life when confronted by police. New surveillance
video shows
the suspect leaving his house for the last time moments before it erupted into flames. Now
Danny, I can go back and repeat that. Here you have, or just move it anywhere. Go ahead.
What I was saying is, you know, they say this particular video, they're saying at this time that he was leaving his house to go to work. You know, I'd like to know how they know that, because all we see is a picture or, you know, a short little clip of him getting out of the passenger side of a construction vehicle that's registered to that company that we talked about that's up north in Northern California. So, you know, why did they edit the video right there? Why didn't they show his face? Why didn't they show him in the driver's side? I mean, you can see on the windshield, the car has a window blind in it, like it's not going anywhere, like it's either been sitting or perhaps he was fixing it and he was done for the day. I'm not even convinced in that video he was going anywhere, you know, because they edited the video. That could be stock clip that was shot at any time. You know, we don't even know what day that video was taken. There's no time stamp on it whatsoever. And why don't they show him again driving away from the house with the surveillance video? They cut it off conveniently right there and just put a story over it. We don't know what's going on with that.
Well, I see the window blind. You can see it's all covered. This is not a drivable situation with that cover blind in place. So I think your points are very, very astute, Andy. I mean, this is just sensational what you're pointing out here.
Well, it looks like they put a story together with clips. I mean, I could put a bunch of video clips together, you know, and make it look like you just landed on the moon yourself. You know what I mean? I mean, if we edit it correctly, you can say anything. So, you know, again, and looking into this guy's background, as we were touched on, but if you stay focused on that picture of the truck, sir, I'd like everybody to look at his uniform that he's wearing. And what I did is I did a little research on the uniforms that BTA wears, and that's not the uniforms that they wear. He's wearing like a safety roadside type of uniform in his photograph. You can see it has the X's, the reflective X's on it. It almost looks like a fireman's outfit that he's wearing. And that's not what they wear at the VTA. Okay, they do not. They wear a uniform, and that is not the uniform at all. So for them to say he was on his way to work, you know, I guess right there they're trying to suggest to us in that big bulky jacket that he had a bunch of guns and magazines stashed in that thing. And he does. You can see also how slow the individual is moving. He's moving extremely slow, almost looks like he has a limp when he walks. You know, he's rather heavy set gentleman. I'd like everybody to keep that in mind as we go through what happened.
Here you go, Danny. Yeah.
He doesn't fit, sir, the MO of the person we're talking about. And for them to say that he worked at the VTA, you know, I'm just really troubled by that because, again, we have this vehicle that's a construction truck that he supposedly drove to the VTA, yet the construction truck is registered to a company that's 2 hours north, that, you know, and he's wearing the clothes that match the vehicle description of doing perk testing. That's exactly the clothes that you would wear doing construction or what he's doing to a T. So it doesn't match. His MO doesn't match. We also, moving forward, sir, we don't have any surveillance video of the gentleman arriving to work. We don't have any surveillance video in the train yard of his vehicle. I mean, what did he drive to work? How come they don't show his vehicle at work? I have questions. What happened to the security guard? What does he have to say? We don't get to hear from him. What happened to all the surveillance video in the train yard in the building? We don't get to see any of that. All we see is that short, little tiny clip in his driveway of a gentleman getting out of a construction, wearing construction clothes, not wearing a VT uniform. Again, this is a gentleman, sir. I got to point out that in his background, there are no employment records. Now, when I look up a background of any normal person that has a job and has a track record of the job, one of the first things I could find out is I can see their employment records. I can see their different employers, what they've done, professional licenses, things like that. As a matter of fact, this gentleman had a particular license in his background that goes along with this perk testing and construction. It didn't fit the VTMO. And again, he had no employment records at all that showed that he worked there. So again, that takes us down the path of, wait a minute here, here's an anomaly. We got a little problem of this guy they're saying that did this. You know, he doesn't fit. Like I said, when we get into talking about, you know, the story that the media told us what happened, he doesn't fit the MO. He's a heavy set gentleman. He's a law-abiding citizen. Again, sir, he doesn't even have a parking ticket in his background whatsoever. Now, you showed the photo, which I like that photo you have posted now. And it's a stock photo that the media had posted that supposedly was released by the sheriff's department of all the things they confiscated at his home. Okay, and when you look at that photo, in the video, they said that somehow, some way, this is the story that, you know, sometimes they go overboard in these stories, sir, and they put extra things in there that doesn't need to be to sell it to the public, right, to really try to emphasize that this is our crazy guy that's part of the story. And they said that he had put some bullets. This is a first for me, sir. I've seen plenty of fires. I've never seen this one. Somehow he put some bullets, some live rounds, inside of a cooking pot on his stove. And somehow he left it on or turned it on. It wasn't apparent if he put them in there dry, if he put them in water. I don't know how he did it because I'm not sure how to replicate what they told us he did. But that he burned his house down or tried to attempt to burn his house down after he left. So in other words, he put this pot on the stove with bullets and then got in his truck and then left. That's the story the media has given us. Just and went ahead and tried to set his home on fire because, you know, he had no intentions of coming back to his home.
Danny, this is stupid beyond belief. And this photograph is so obviously staged, Danny. I mean, this is photo. This just reeks of fakery, staging, props. It's embarrassingly bad, Danny. You're doing a great job of dissecting it.
Well, you know, sir, I try to look at all the facts. You know, they give us this one. We don't have a smoking gun video like we had in the Colorado. I wish we did. We don't have anything like that this time. So the only thing we can look at is we can look at all the evidence that the media and they presented us. So that's simply all we're doing. We're just breaking down everything in the story that they're giving us. We're not taking their word for it. We're looking for, you know, truths, and we're looking for things that are anomalies that are not true. And this story has a bunch of things that are not true. So in focusing on this picture, what they were saying to us, sir, is these are items that they confiscated from his home, right, after it burned to the ground. Okay, so he supposedly, the story is that he lit his kitchen on fire by putting bullets in a hot stove, on a hot stove, in some sort of a pot. I don't even know how you would do that. I'm trying to replicate how a person could even do that. And then he left, got in his truck while leaving this fire going on his stove, and then it caught fire on the house. And in that ABC footage, you can see that the side of the house and the side of the backyard, there's some flames coming out of it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure how he did that. But I'm thinking anybody that was going to try to do something like that would probably pour accelerant all over their house, some sort of kerosene, gasoline, you know, whatever kind of accelerant they're going to use. Because obviously, sir, they're telling us this guy's a bomb expert also. And I can tell you, he has no military records, sir. I didn't see, he wasn't a Navy SEAL. I didn't see any records in there that shows that his employment records, that he was a bomb-making expert. That didn't come up in his employment records. And they're saying, you know, they found 12 guns, multiple bombs, and 25,000 rounds. So this suggests, you know, this is what you might find in a Navy SEAL's house. And, you know, there's no explosives. Well, if he had explosives in the house and he was doing this MacGyver thing in his kitchen with the pot to start a fire, let me tell you something. That whole house would have gone up in flames quick with the bombs and the explosives and the rounds, okay? But yet he does this chintzy little thing where supposedly he puts some rounds in a pot to start the house on fire. You see a video of a few firemen. There's three firemen there. And at 6:40 in the morning, you know, what I don't understand is there happened to be a video camera there filming the firemen. And I'd like to know how the media got there at 6:40 in the morning before the shooting actually even happened. How did they know to get there at the fire? Right.
I love it, Danny.
That doesn't happen, sir. There's no news crew that shows up at the same time the fireman does and happens to film, you know, the guy's house being on fire. And I can tell you, firemen don't carry cameras on their turnout coats. So something's going on here with this filming of this fire. It's like, you know, they already had a film crew there ready to go is what it suggests to me. There's something highly suspicious that they happen to catch the fire at that stage perfectly when it sort of started.
Yeah, this is it. This is a Hollywood-style production, Danny, no doubt about it. You have taken it apart so beautifully. This hasn't inhibited the Democrats from moving forward with it, claiming this is another example of why they need more gun laws, although get this. California is among the states with the strictest gun laws in the nation. They're starting to pass even more laws. The Democrat-led legislature has introduced multiple gun bills in the last fiscal years, ranging from increased taxes on firearms to expanding the state's red flag law. Despite all the pre-existing laws in place by liberals, people continue to die, or actually better, are reported to be dying in these mass shootings. Here's how they're characterizing it. Wednesday morning, workers at the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority Guadalupe Light Rail Yard were getting ready to start their day when suddenly a gunman identified as Samuel Cassidy opened fire. When the shooter stopped firing his weapon, And actually, there was supposed to be two guns, Danny, as you observed. What is he firing out of both hands? This comes some kind of superhero. 10 people were dead, including the suspect, who they claim took his own life. Multiple were injured. Police have not released a motive, but persons who know him, including his ex-wife, said, Danny, this is out of whole cloth. He was an angry person. His ex said he often talked about hurting the people he worked with, but she didn't think he was serious. Sound like bullshit to me. Even though most of the details about how he obtained the guns and why he did it are unknown, Democrats are using it to push their anti-gun agenda. Surprise, surprise. President Biden called on Congress to pass a gun control bill in the wake of the shooting. He wants lawmakers to help end this epidemic of gun violence in America. Several others, including Representative Ro Khanna from California, who represents a district where the shooting took place, said the country needs background checks and red flag laws, even though California already has them on the books. On Wednesday, nevertheless, they saw this 18th so-called mass shooting unfold. If gun control laws were so great, by the way, the shooting would not have taken place. It's very clear this is all obvious, total nonsense, Danny. How many are going to be played? They also aren't reporting how criminal offenses are very much divided by race, where blacks commit overwhelmingly the most offenses, whether it's property crime, assaults, aggravated assault, burglary, fraud, robbery. I mean, just you go through them in all but alcohol-related categories. The black participants are committing these offenses, where American Indians seem to have a genetic incapacity to tolerate alcohol, so that in violations of liquor laws, for example, in drunkenness, there are more Indians than blacks. If you look at the New York City crime statistic for 2014, for example, arrests for violent crime, shooting, 97% black or Latino, murder, 94% black or Latino, rape, 89% black or Latino, where rape's the only category where the Latino percentage exceeds the black. If New York City were all white, rapes would be down 83%, murder 91%, shooting 96%. And my dear colleague, Dr. Eowyn, like myself, a retired professor, imposed a 2016 electoral map over a 2014 murder distribution map. And guess what, Danny? The murders are occurring in Democrat-controlled areas where they already have these, restrictions on the ability to carry weapons, which create free fire zones for the criminals. Danny, it's a failure of Democratic governance. It's the policies are put in place that are causing the problem. If you were to get rid of all of these prohibitions, if you were to no longer have law-abiding citizens be not allowed to carry weapons, the gun rate, the crime rate would drop precipitously virtually overnight. Danny, I just find it appalling. And by the way, I don't think they're going to get away with it ever since they went on their ill-fated adventure about defunding the police. I don't think there's any sensible American in the country who's going to be willing to give up their guns, no matter how many of these fake shootings they stage.
Well, sir, I do agree with that 100%. I'd like to, follow the evidence on this case, and I do agree with the crime statistics. It's overwhelmingly black crime is on the lead. It's actually on the rise. What I'm noticing around the country is that Democrats seem to be letting felons out of jail at a pace that I've never seen, even shutting down jails. There's jails in California that have actually been closed, and they're saying, well, we got to let the criminals out because we're closing the jail. And, they let these felons out with no plan in life, and they go right to crime. They go right to the crime cities, get a gun, get a knife. And they start right to business because nobody's going to hire them. They have no chance of getting a job. They have no education to start their own business. And they know that they're going to go out and commit crime and then get involved with an altercation with the police, which is what I think that is the goal, is to drive up the altercations with the police, to ratchet up tension, you know, to fit the current political agenda that they want to create currently. But, sir, if you could bring that picture back, if you don't mind, of that photo, just so I can follow along, the one that the sheriff released. I just want to finish up.
Oh, sure, Danny. Which one would you like to see? This one? There you go.
So what I'd like to point out about this is they released this of what it, what I was saying is, you know, this is a guy that, again, I just want to reemphasize, he has no criminal record. There's nothing in his appointment records that show he was in the military, nothing that suggests that, you know, he was part of any criminal element, but yet he has bomb-making experience. And I'd like to the audience to kind of keep that in mind. How many people do we each know that have bomb-making experience? I would say, you know what, I can't really think of any, you know, unless you have a military relative that's in the military. Currently, nobody knows how to make bombs, but yet this guy, he shows up, and they're saying he had 12 guns. So that's really key, sir. I'd like everybody to see that. It says 12 guns, bombs, and over 25,000 rounds. And they're showing on this table neatly all the things that are boxed up in ammo boxes, nice and neat, right? And they're showing all the different things, but yet there's no evidence of the 12 guns, okay? All we see is a whole table full of ammo. We see a bunch of 5.56 rifle ammo there, all neatly bagged. You know, ammo is pretty scarce right now. I'm sure everybody looks at the photo and says, man, I wouldn't mind having some of that extra ammo there. But he's got all those bags of 5.56. He's got boxes of pistol cartridges there. He's got two bandoliers that hold 12-gauge shotgun rounds. So there's no mention that he had a shotgun. But yet we see bandoliers of shotgun rounds there, common for anybody that's a shotgunner to keep those rounds with them in a bandolier, a very common way to keep them or to keep them for self-defense, I might add, or when you go hunting or whatever, to keep all your rounds together, you know. And again, all the pistol rounds, all the shotgun rounds, they're all in dry storable containers. So if this guy set the fire the way that he said, why does he have all this ammo neatly packed in all those containers, sir? Why didn't he pile them all up on that stove along with all of his bombs and his explosives that they're telling us that he had, right? This is them telling us. They're telling us that he had all this stuff. Why didn't he pile all this in his kitchen and set that house up so it just blew up? You know what I mean? But yet he does this funky little fire story on his stove with a pot. And yet when they go in there to raid his house after the fire, sir, no doubt, they went in after the fire, okay, from this bomb-making expert, and they managed to salvage all this ammo that's in beautiful condition.
Yeah, that's just absurd, Danny. I mean, talk about cause and effect.
You're in the military, right? You were a captain. If we were on some kind of a unit and you told me to go burn a building down somewhere overseas, I don't think I've done a very good job, sir. You told me to go do it. You know, because the fire wasn't much, right? And all of a sudden, we have all this ordnance left over. You know, there's no bombs on the table, so we don't see any explosives. There's one container that's burned on the right-hand side. There's one that has a police radio in it. I'm wondering, why is he in possession of a police radio over there in the corner? That's a little bit very weird to me. Why does he have that? Now, let's go over the magazine, sir. This is very important because this picture, sir, tells a story that's unbelievable when you look at the evidence, and that's what we like to do. We like to look at the evidence. We're pushing aside for a minute the story that they gave us, and we're taking apart the pieces of the story, and we're looking at the evidence that they are presenting to us as part of their story. So as we move through this, though, it's important. If you see all the magazines sitting there on the table next to the bandoliers, okay, the first thing we see is a bunch of magazines that look to be 10-round AR-10 magazines. And for our audience, those are smaller 10-round magazines that hold the .308 rifle round. And you can clearly see on the table when you zoom in on those are .308 rounds that are actually in the magazine. And the magazines are actually taped with a rubber band by two. So in other words, the butt of the magazine is taped to another butt with a rubber band. And often people will do that in the military, in the police, because what happens is when they run out of ammo and they drop the mag, they flip it around to the other side and you have another mag hanging from your weapon. So I find it hard to believe that this guy had .308 rifle rounds, rubber banded and taped in a tactical fashion. There was nothing tactical about this heavyset man getting in and out of the truck that they're showing us with no criminal record. Yet he had these tactical style, military style tactical 308 magazines. I'd like to also point out that on those magazines is a bunch of writing and tape, and the dates on them are 2018 and 2019. So why did he have all this writing and all these notes on these magazines? To me, it suggests that those were trips or times that those magazines were used. Somebody took extensive notes and wrote on each one of those magazines. I find that hard to believe from this bomb-making expert that we see this heavyset gentleman in the video that they're showing us, that he had the tactical military-style magazines taped together like that with those notes. Then next to that, we see these round-looking, funny-looking magazines. Those are known as beta magazines. We call them beta drums. And you look at them, they're two snail shells by a magazine in the middle. There's two of them there.
Right.
Those are called beta magazines. And I'd like to point out that those are illegal in California, amongst all the other things they banned in California. You can't have 100-round magazines. They're kind of heavy. They're kind of clunky. They do work. They're heavy, but he's got two of them, and they look to be loaded down pretty heavy. I can't see how many rounds, but you can see, you know, that they look to be, you know, not of a capacity, but they look pretty full anyway in the photograph. And so he has these magazines on them. And the story that the media presented us, sir, when you put this together in your mind, as you sit back and you put the pieces together, is that he went to work in his construction truck that isn't registered to him with his fire suit on, right? That it's not a uniform that the VTA wears. And supposedly had a couple handguns shoved on him, okay? Well, I'm thinking, why two handguns with, you know, they even gave us a magazine account. I think they said he had 11 magazines on him. Very interesting that they knew the count of the magazines that he had on him. He had two pistols. They didn't give the brand or the caliber, but they knew how many magazines. And I thought, well, that's an awful, very specific number for the investigation.
Script writers think it's more believable if you throw in specifics like that, Danny. They just make them up. I mean, this is outrageous. You've done a brilliant job of dissecting the script here. This is outrageous. The evidence contradicts the official narrative. We're coming up against a break. Let me reiterate. It looks, given the pace we're moving, that I will not take callers until the bottom of the second hour. The number, however, 540-352-4452. You'll be able to call in then to speak to me and Danny. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years.
to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host, with my special feature guest today, a return engagement with Danny Siris, who's doing a brilliant job of critiquing what appears to be another stage fake shooting in San Jose, California, to promote the Democrats' ill-fated gun control agenda. The more guns they take, the more crime goes up. As Danny was observing, they're even leading criminals out of jail, ostensibly because of the threat from the coronavirus, but in fact, this is a catastrophe because the amount of time and money and effort doing investigations, solving crimes, arresting suspects, taking them to court, conducting a prosecution, having them incarcerated, letting them out is a catastrophe. And the Democrats are clearly doing this as a political strategy. It's outrageous. Now, I anticipate one or more calls after the break at the bottom of the hour to pursue these issues further with Danny. In the meanwhile, other stories need to make their way onto the air, including Senate Republicans block a vote on a bipartisan January 6th commission. Let me just tell you, 44 Republicans stopped the Senate from even considering the proposal to create an independent commission on the January 6th intrusion, which actually was welcomed by the Capitol Police. They invited them in. There are massive doors protecting the Capitol with powerful magnets. They could only have made their way in had they been allowed to do so. This appears to have been a Nancy Pelosi operation from A to Z. There were even reports that it was planned in the works before it occurred, which obviously exonerates Donald Trump from any responsibility for incitation. No one wanted less for the discussion taking place in the Senate at the time about evidence of voter fraud to proceed unimpeded than Donald Trump. No one. No one more wanted to disrupt that discussion of evidence of voter fraud from going forward than Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, who happens to be in charge of the Capitol Police. Meanwhile, let me observe the fellow they had lined up to be the head of the January 6th Commission was none other than Philip Zelikow. He's a professor of history at the University of Virginia, where in the past I taught twice, once as a visiting associate, then later as a visiting full professor, where Philip Zelikow was in charge of the 9/11 Commission, where he completed a draft of the commission report a year before he shared it with any member of the staff, and where I believe Philip Zelikow actually wrote the script for 9/11. His position is area of specialization in the academy before he entered the government to serve that special function as executive director was, get this, the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S, which are supposed to have a political significance. Well, what could be a greater public myth than the 9/11 official narrative, which I and members of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which I founded, have dismembered piece by piece. If you want to see the latest discussion and debate, go on to unz.com, unz.com. Check out my article, What's Wrong with Conspiracy Theories, which now has nearly 950 comments, because there are a lot of those there who are trying to resurrect or preserve the official 9/11 narrative with very scant success. Meanwhile, of course, they would much rather be talking about, you know, individuals going onto the Capitol grounds dressed as Trump supporters, where James, the brother of John Sullivan, has reported that John led 226 Antifa members into the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters, than they would the summer before all the riots, all the looting, all the fires, where prominent Democrats like Kamala Harris and, even Nancy Pelosi herself, not to mention Mad Maxine, were going whole hog to burn down America. They don't want to talk about that. How convenient they have a distraction in the form of the Capitol intrusion. Meanwhile, of course, all the Black Lives Matter, they don't tell you that the incidence of blacks killed by whites is actually minuscule compared to the number of blacks killed by blacks. I have statistics here for murder of blacks and whites in the U.S. in 2013. Blacks killed by blacks 55 times more frequent than blacks killed by whites, and more than 5 times more frequent than whites killed by blacks or whites killed by whites. In other words, the overwhelming majority of murders in the United States are blacks killing blacks. What they do is perform the feat, the magic of special pleading, only focusing on the attention they want you to notice, blacks killed by whites, and ignoring the rest. It's outrageous. It's political. This is the sort of thing done by opinion writers, by used car salesmen, and by prominent politicians. Danny, this is just like the used car guy talking about the great stereo and the leather upholstery and ignoring that the rings are shot and the transmission needs to be replaced. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, on the, if we're, it's hard to even make out that story, Dr. Fetzer. It's so frustrating in general. I mean, you know, one of the best videos out there, one gentleman made showing the whole siege hoax, I will call it, with all the crisis actors and stuff. I know we don't have time to play that video. We'd probably do a whole show around that one video, breaking down everything that he finds, in slow-mo. It's just ridiculous when you watch the fakery and how phony that was, down to the shooting of the girl that supposedly got shot, when obviously when you look at the video, she wasn't even shot. There was fake blood that was put on her. That video, as soon as you post it online, and I've tried to post it immediately, they have robots online that strike it down and erase it. And I've done it on a couple of platforms where it immediately gets taken down. They're obviously trying to cover up the evidence of what happened during this whole thing that's going on with this, you know, distraction after distraction. And then again, we start moving into the false flag shootings that we're covering today. The whole thing is a farce, sir.
It is, Danny, it is. It's a farce brought to us by the Democrats. Meanwhile, a new grand jury will hear evidence in the Trump investigation. They are so petrified this guy might run again and clean their clock. He's already done it twice in 2016, even though the election was rigged for Hillary. Trump cleaned them out by a turnout, massive turnout from rural counties in support of Donald Trump. Then he did it all over again in 2020, which is why they had to stop the count in the early hours of the morning to adjust their algorithms and bring in dump Trump some Biden votes. I mean, this is the most outrageous theft swindle of an election in American history. And yet they spent 4 years claiming that Donald Trump's election was illegitimate because of Russian hacking, even though there was never a scintilla of evidence, and now today deny, characterize as a nut job. Anyone who points out that there's massive evidence from Sidney Powell, from L. Lynn Wood, from Mike Lindell, and from other sources supporting the massive theft of the election of 2020, including, of course, the audits going on in Arizona and elsewhere. So they're doing their best to tarnish Donald Trump. They want to beat him up. They want to bring criminal charges against him. Manhattan attorney, District Attorney Cyrus Vance, for example, is conducting a wide-ranging investigation into a variety of matters, such as hush money payments to women on Trump's behalf, property valuations, and employee compensation. Trump has always been a great employer. He's always been completely equitable, paid black, white, Latino, you name them, employees at similar wages. He's always been very responsible. He has excellent accountants. And, of course, a lot of this is recycling old garbage. What they have done, they have taken a target, Donald Trump, and asked the district attorney to find a crime to hang on him. And it's gone up to the attorney general of New York and to the new attorney general of the United States. The investigation includes scrutiny of Trump's relationship with his lenders, a land donation he made to qualify for an income tax deduction, tax write-offs his company claimed on millions in consulting fees. Trump characterizes it as a witch hunt. Unquestionably, Trump is right. This is purely political and an affront to the almost 75 million who supported me in the presidential election. It's being driven by highly partisan Democrat prosecutors. The new grand jury is the latest sign of increasing momentum in the criminal investigation. Attorney General Letitia James said last week she assigned two lawyers to work with Vance's office on the probe after her civil investigation into Trump evolved into a criminal matter. James, a Democrat, said her office is also continuing its civil investigation and has been declaring that if she became attorney general, she would prosecute Donald Trump. And that's regardless of the evidence. Trump has observed he's being unfairly attacked and abused by a corrupt political system, parts of a Democrat plot to silence his voters and block him from running for president again. No doubt about it. Alex Jones has reported they're seeking to bring indictments against Donald J. Trump by the 4th of July. They're doing their absolute best to sabotage the massive political operation he put together that transformed the Republican Party from a country club, elite rich party to a party of the middle class and working men and women. Remember, back in December of 2019, prior to the election, Rasmussen was already reporting 40% of black likely voters were going to support Donald Trump. That had to send shivers through the Democrat Party, because without 90 to 95% of the black vote, they cannot win elections. Here's a wonderful statement that sums it up. Liberals are so upset with Trump. You would think he stole 90% of the Haitian relief fund, sold 20% of our uranium to Russia, deleted 33 emails, and let innocent Americans die in Benghazi, all of which were untrue of Donald Trump, but true of Hillary Clinton. Danny, your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts are this is a complete scam again. The Democrats, can you imagine if Republicans tried to get together and do this to Democrats? You know, there'd be outrage. The media just goes to show you that the Democrat Party walks lockstep with the globalists that control the Mockingbird media. I mean, for them to come out here, this black DA, to try and come in there and fake and fabricate evidence. You know, obviously Trump has been in business a long time. He's had multiple accounting firms doing his taxes forever. You know, he doesn't do it. He gets advice constantly from some of the finest tax firms in all of New York that, you know, he doesn't make a step without consulting them. And for them to try and pick apart all these tax firms that follow all the rules for his deductions or whatever to try and come up with some kind of a crime they can charge him for, it's just so absolutely ridiculous. This is just some witch hunt. They're trying to come up with some kind of a talking point. It's not going to amass to nowhere. It's definitely not going to get any kind of conviction. They're not going to, this is going to blow up in their face the same way that all the other stupid witch hunts are. This is nothing more than a distraction to keep, try to put in negative, keep negativity in the press about Donald Trump to cover up all of the scams that they've been pulling, including all of the fraud that is continuing to come out, sir, daily when it comes to the 2020 election out of Arizona and all these other things. They're simply trying to get the public to focus on something negative because they're deathly afraid Donald Trump is going to walk back into office pretty soon after all this fraud comes out.
Danny, you're 100% correct. And what it does is demonstrate the profound corruption of the Department of Justice under the Biden-Harris administration. No one is going to believe it. They're going to see right through it. Meanwhile, they're covering up all kinds of evidence that continues to emerge about the Joe Biden crime family. Here's a news story about Hunter bringing Joe to dinner with his shady business partners on April 16th, held in the private garden of 2015 in the private garden room of the Cafe Milano, a Georgetown institution who promotes itself as where the world's most powerful people go. There are quite a group of individuals who met there, including an executive of the Ukrainian energy company Burisma, which was paying Hunter $83,333 a month to sit on its board. Here's an image of the Cafe Milano, where the powerful meet. The guest list was prepared 3 weeks before, including Russian billionaire Yelena Batarina and her husband, corrupt former Moscow mayor Yuri Luzhov, who has since departed this earth, where Batarina wired $3.5 million on February 14, 2014 to Rosemont Seneca Thornton LLC, a Delaware-based investment firm co-founded by Hunter and Devin Archer, a former advisor to Secretary of State John Kerry, who's also thereby indirectly implicated, where Hunter told guests before the dinner his father would be attending. In one email, he appeared to be using his role on the board of World Food Program USA as a cover for the evening's true purpose of introducing his father to a business associate. Here's an email he wrote to Michael Carloso, son of the then head of the Greek Orthodox Church. Okay, a reason for the dinner is ostensibly to discuss food security. Dad will be there, but keep that between us for now. Thanks. And Carloso replies, everything is between us, all good. I know you mentioned your dad would probably join at the dinner as well. Biden, of course, has claimed he knew nothing about his son's business dealings, which Tony Bobulinski blew apart when Tucker Carlson interviewed him. Even a Mexican ambassador was there. Three seats, this is the list, three seats for our KZ Kazakhstan friends, two seats for Yolanda and husband, two for you and me, three seats for the WFP World Food Program USA, Vladim, three ambassadors from Mexico, a total of 14. Unclear if everyone attended. Hunter replied, I think you know, when they had a debate over whether one figure was going to be there, I think your guy being there is more than it's, you know, not worth the bother. The point being made, Danny, is there's more and more evidence of corruption by Biden that the mainstream, of course, is covering up. So anything, this is just a continuation of what we have seen in the past of trashing Trump and covering up for Biden. It's as disgraceful as it gets, where we had Christopher Wray now performing the same function on behalf of the Biden campaign by concealing the content of the Hunter Biden laptop for the election of 2020 that James Comey had performed on behalf of Hillary Clinton by concealing the contents of the Anthony Weiner laptop in relation to the election of 2016. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, just to overall sum that up, I mean, that's really good information. But, you know, I've never seen, since I've been alive, I've never seen this sort of corruption ever come to the surface in this massive amount. I mean, from the election fraud to, you know, the false flags, it just never ends, sir. And the Democrat Party has really shown their cards basically since, you know, Donald Trump has got in office, but really since the midterms. And what I'm starting to see, sir, from talking to individuals far and wide is, you know what, people, the American people can see somebody has obviously orchestrated making them show their cards. They can see the corruption like we've never seen before. There's just nobody that can't see how corrupt the Democrats are, how corrupt our government is. All these players are coming out of the woodworks from the sex crimes, from the election fraud arrests that are happening, just all of it boiling to the surface. And we all know how bad it is, and how bad we thought it was. It's 10 times worse. These people are in your face now with this crime, openly committing crime left and right. It's coming out everywhere. And that all we see is efforts from the Democrats. They look like a drowning rat trying to go after Donald Trump for some kind of tax issue that happened, you know, 10, 15 years ago, whatever. It's such a joke that's going on, what's happening here. You know, the election fraud is coming out every single day. It's blowing up in their face. I mean, I don't know how much more of this we're going to take, sir, but I just have a feeling that something really huge is going to break soon. I don't know if it's going to be a civil war. I don't know what's coming out, but something is going to happen with this election evidence here. And I just don't see all of this nonsense continuing for much longer.
Wonderful, wonderful comments. Of course, we have more and more revelations of China paying millions to American newspapers and magazines to run propaganda pieces as though they were news stories. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, all involved. Time took in $700,000 for advertising. LA Times, $272,000. Foreign Policy, Financial Times, $291,000 and $371,000. Globe and Mail Canadian, $329,000. It's all embarrassingly bad. Biden's top Asia official says U.S. engagement with China is over. In other words, we're now going to enter an era of competition. But that seems highly unlikely. Meanwhile, cheers broke out in the Senate after a Rand Paul amendment passed banning gain-of-function research in China. We may never know whether the pandemic arose from the lab in Wuhan, but we do know so far no intermediate animal host has been discovered. Paul, who is, of course, himself a physician, an ophthalmologist, an eye guy, said in his speech ahead of the vote, not only did the chamber erupt into cheers banning U.S. funding a gain-of-function research in China, but at this point, Anthony Fauci's status has been dropping dramatically. We have workers around the world reporting how 3.7 million was lost from workers around the world during the pandemic, while billionaires gained 3.9 trillion, that it's the biggest one-year wealth transfer in history. Yet somehow barely anyone is talking about it. And I just want to add, Fauci is facing calls for his resignation after shifting his position on a probe of the Wuhan lab. There's a very nice piece about the fall of St. Fauci on my website at jamesfetzer.org. I encourage everyone to check it out. Very significant development. Here we have a report actually from China. Well, since Wuhan lab has been probed, it's now time for the U.S. Fort Detrick Biolab. Also, U.S. anti-pandemic fight guided by Mr. Fauci is unimpressive. Hopefully, it can be a dual role in persuading the Biden government to cooperate with an international investigation. And get this, Danny, this is so, to me, tragic when we have reports by highly qualified individuals like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny describing these vaccines as perfectly designed killing machines. Get this. Engineering grad wins $1 million in Ohio's first Vax-a-Million lotto. Teen boy picks up a full college scholarship as state's jab incentive boosts vaccinations in the state by 45%. It's entitled Worth a Shot. Well, you want to ponder, we have this woman, Abigail Benensky, who's an engineering student, mechanical engineering, won $1 million in the lotto. She was just blown away by it. We have a young man, Joseph Toscatello of Inglewood, as the first winner of a college career. We're incited. This has inspired so many Ohioans to get vaccinated, said Governor Mike DeWine. We have a photograph of DeWine, second from the list here, with a winner. Danny, yesterday, hundreds of thousands of vaccinated Ohioans entered the Ohio Vax-a-Million for a chance to win $1 million or a college scholarship. Get your COVID-19 shot and get a chance to win. I am profoundly disturbed because you're creating incentives for what is very likely to be a fatal shot, not just something you think is going to benefit you, but do you permanent, potentially fatal damage. Your thoughts.
Well, sir, as the doctors have pointed out, I watched one world-renowned Dr. McCullough the other day come out. We've never seen the elite and the media ever come out and try to force a poison injection that's causing so much havoc and death and injury on people. Sir, bribing people to take a shot, people giving out money, $50 here, I saw an article yesterday, lap dances at a club for getting a COVID shot. I mean, that, I thought I'd seen it all, and then I saw that. I mean, it just never ends with the carrots that are out there to try and force the public. You know, I also think there's something else going on with the media as far as them reporting on how many people got the shot. We all know how they use the fake suppression polls to come out lead the public in a particular direction.
Danny, we're up against a break. We are up against a break, and we will take callers after the break. Stand by. Be sure to call in for Danny and me. Talk to you then after the break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host with Danny Suris as my featured guest. And our first call is from California. Paul, join the conversation.
Okay, so many things to touch upon. I'll try to do it in rapid fire. I would love to have, for you guys to have an hour and a half call-in section after your hour and a half show. Maybe you could buy a half hour off of Mona Radler. I live here in San Jose, of course. I'm probably 15, 20 minutes away from this place. I don't know anything about it other than I saw something on the internet because I don't listen to the local news or watch local news and so forth because, of course, it's nauseating. Another time, I would love to hear more about the victims. All the thing about the perpetrator, a lot of it really is not that implausible in terms of there's plenty of people in this area that have phone numbers from other areas, in many cases nearby, in some cases much farther away, and they just don't change their numbers. And that could probably go for the truck, too, because nowadays everybody has cell phones. So.
Well,
hello?
Go ahead, Paul. Just go ahead, Paul. This is somebody trying to call in. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, quickly, too, on, you know, something that you mentioned about Rand Paul. I don't really like Rand Paul. I don't think he's anything compared to his father. A number of people have been pretty brutal deconstructing him online with all the various positions he's taken on, you know, one thing or another. I do firmly believe, and I'm pretty sure I'll have support from Michael Ivey, Jack Mullen, and many others. I don't think that we have any problems whatsoever related to a lab in Wuhan, China. I think it's a big nothing burger, similar to, say, the helicopter on Mars, okay? Doesn't mean anything to anybody here in America. Also, quickly on this thing with continuing to talk about Trump and Trump being, possible president again and you know, politics. Okay, sure, fine, but it doesn't really matter. As I made the point so many times before, if these people still control all the news, all the media, all the sources of information, and have unlimited bankroll to fund, you know, fake events, fake shootings, fake insurrections, and spin the narrative, and they control all the issuance of money, not just in this country, but essentially almost every country in the world, what's the difference who the president is? And you talk about, once again, Donald Trump cleaning their clock. Well, what good did that do him or us? So, and here's one other thing I'll mention about Donald Trump while I'm on this. I've been listening for a while now to David Knight, who used to be with InfoWars. I think he's excellent. He's got his own show on BitChute. And I got to admit, Jim, David Knight has now become my favorite person to listen to on the internet, with you a close second. And it's mark on your ability to gather information and to present it. It's just that he is so good at what he does. And he made the point the other day, which is just, in my opinion, irrefutable, that InfoWars now, of course, is all fully on board with this vaccine being a bioweapon, being an extermination weapon, a depopulation weapon, and so on and so forth. And yet, at the other side of their mouth, supporting the Trump narrative. And David Knight, one of the reasons he departed from InfoWars, he was let go, was because his conflict with Alex Jones and the others there of their support for Trump. Trump is the one that pushed the vaccine. Trump is the one that allowed all the corporate grifting and minted 8 or 9 new billionaires, which he covers in his show. Billionaires who didn't earn any money, but they were essentially just given money, just handed to them. Trump still recently said that we should take the vaccine, and he's taking credit for it. So what kind of man is he? He's no friend of ours. So it doesn't matter whether he wins an election or when it, or if any state ever gets overturned. It's time to be done with that man.
Well, I'm very pleased by what you say about this fellow, David Knight. That sounds like he's outstanding. I also, of course, am profoundly troubled by Trump's role with regard to the vaccines for all the good I believe he has done. I'm not going to seek to defend him here and now. I take great exception to his having promoted the vaccines, which are part and parcel of the greatest swindle ever subjected to the population of Earth. I want to bring in Danny, because I'm sure he's got many thoughts of his own. Danny, go ahead. You're with Paul.
Well, I'm trying to, he covered a lot of major topics there. I'm going to try to lose track of some of them, but I did do a background on the victims. We probably don't have time to go all into that. Some of them came out as ghosts. Some of them actually did have BPA records, but some of them actually showed that they left BPA in 2018, 2019, no longer were there, and went on to
there you go.
Which was very puzzling by the records. Right. Okay, so there's a lot of anomalies there. I got pages and pages of notes. We didn't quite even get into finish the false flag of him entering the property and the whole story. I mean, we can poke holes in that all day long, that he had these guns on him with these magazines, yet nobody ran. It was a big, huge, wide open building. None of the narrative that they put out about what happened is not plausible at all. I mean, it's just not. I'd like to point out, Dr. Fetzer, while we have time here, is the building is right next door to the sheriff's office, literally separated by a gate. And it's only literally just a few feet away is the sheriff's office and where their
patrol, right,
where all the deputies come out. It's just ridiculous where they say this happened. There's photos also and video showing the sheriff deputies walking around on their own property with SWAT gear, 2 hours after the event happened, acting like they're up to the shooting.
Hang on.
The other thing I want to address.
Can you hear me?
Hang on, Paul. Go ahead, Danny.
I just want to add some color to what he said there.
I would just tell him there's a very interesting article, which I think you posted or reposted, Dr. Fetzer, from Stop World Control. Kind of talks about the whole Trump and the vaccine, because that's one of the things that I, too, myself, were very disappointed in the vaccines. I actually know someone that works for Trump. So, you know what, I'm just going to leave it at that. And I got to hear a lot of interesting things that most people don't hear. And one of the things about the vaccine that turned out is Trump, he made the vaccines available. But I'd like everyone to understand that he made them available on what's called an emergency basis. And that is a very key thing about the vaccine. And there's some brilliance about doing it in that way, because the way that it was set up with the vaccines made it so it gave the public a way to forever deny the vaccine. It cannot be forced on us because of the way that it was presented to the public. And there's a lot to that. And again, I would just encourage him to read the article on Stop World Control that has a whole thing about vaccines and the way it was introduced. And it gives us all deniability in the United States, that they can never push the vaccine on us. It gives us the free will to take it if we want to or not, instead of it being forced. And if it would have been done or introduced in any other way but the way he did it, then it would have become more of a forceful situation where we all would have been, forced to do it legally. But he said not be forced on us. So
Paul, hang on.
Okay. He goes on a while, though. You know that.
But, you know, I'm not happy with that part of what he's doing
or
what he did. But I would like to return to what Trump had as far as the economy, the jobs, and all the prosperity. Because never before we had so many people working and so much prosperity and low unemployment. So these are things that, you know, I definitely...
Danny, I agree with all that. Paul's going to have a rebuttal here. But before we go there... You were mentioning, and this seems analogous to having the film crew there at the home at 6:40 in the morning a.m. to film this alleged fire. The turnout by the sheriff's office and the police department was enormous. I mean, they had a staggering number of individuals out there in full SWAT gear and the like. Would you care to comment on that before I return to Paul?
No, I got to comment on that, which will make it very easy to understand, because I had this in my head, but there's so many... things rattling around. That Valley Transportation Yard is right in the middle of an entire government complex, okay? Forget about just the sheriff's office. It's right next to the police department, the main downtown county jail, the government center, the San Jose City Government
Center,
all right there within
This is Paul's greatest fault. He won't follow my lead when I have guests on and we'll talk over. Now, he may or may not have heard what you were saying, but I specifically was asking you to comment before I went back to Paul. I'm going to go back to Paul, but I wanted you to be able to complete your thoughts about the massive turnout by the sheriff and the police. Paul's already ready to explain it all. Well, I'll get to you, Paul, and you'll have the opportunity. Danny, go ahead. Review what you were saying.
Okay, so we're going to start back with the fire. So what doesn't make any sense, sir, is, again, we have a camera crew. There are cameramen filming the firemen showing up at 6:40 a.m. is when the fire showed up in San Jose, yet the shooting happened right around that time. So it's very interesting there happened to be a camera crew. Then we have this video that the media posted of this large, heavyset gentleman that sort of walks with a limp with this construction outfit on that matches the M.O. of his vehicle that he's driving, and it also matches his background, keeping in mind he has no VTA records or employment records that show that he worked there. Then supposedly he drives this vehicle. Okay, we don't have video of him driving because they cut the video off. We don't have video of him driving the truck, but he pulls it into a highly secure area where there's no cameras. Again, right next to the VTA, next to the gate, is the sheriff's department. Literally, you know, you could throw a tennis ball, bounce it off of their, you know, patrol cars right there. But right next to the VTA, literally right at their front gate, is the Army National Reserve, Army Reserve Base, and the Army or the National Guard Base and the Armory. So you have a lot of security, a lot of military equipment right there where they're placed at. And yet we have no footage of this guy driving his truck, his construction truck that's registered to another company, by the way, into the property, right? How come we can't see that? We don't have any video of him going into the building with his fire suit. Supposedly, he had two guns on him and all these magazines that he had snuck into this building.
Right.
We don't have any of this stuff, sir. But what we do have is an hour, 2 hours after the shooting, we have the media showing up, and then we see SWAT teams marching around, walking around. Like that one photo I sent, you can see the sheriff's department several hours after the event was over. You can see them on their property, not on VTA property, actually on the sheriff's property. Just they're walking with, you know, they have battle gear on, they have vests on, they're carrying long arm weapons. And I'm thinking, God, they're awful late to the party. It happened 2 hours ago, yet they're literally just a few feet away from the building, right? They're only separated by a little tiny 3 or 4 foot cyclone fence.
Yeah.
So we see all these props. You know, sir, it looked a lot like the Sandy Hook set to me. I saw, you know, I think back and look at some of that footage from Sandy Hook where you see the same guys, David Wheeler, the crisis actor, walking back and forth and set, carrying the rifle upside down by the magazine.
Yes.
His helmet not fitting. That's a lot what we saw in these photos and these videos. That they looked very strange after the fact, this late in the game, to have all those police out there at 6:40 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, in this very highly secured area.
No, you made that point already. God, it never stopped.
Paul.
Out there
yeah.
at that time, and exactly what had happened, sir.
Right.
It just does not, the story does not add up.
Sir, right.
The evidence does not make sense.
Danny, I know. I do not believe Paul's going to defend it as being authentic, though I could be mistaken. Go ahead, Paul. The floor is yours.
No. Well, thank you. No, I mean, these are many things that you already covered in the first hour more than once. And yeah, we all get it. I don't doubt it for a second. The minute they cover a story like this with, you know, what I call saturation coverage and then talk about, you know, gun violence and gun control, we know what the deal is. I just added my, you know, what I call my own local color. I know this area well. It literally, it's just like, you know, it's like the Vegas nerve complex of government and, you know, police, right where that is. So, yeah, it stinks to high heaven. I do take great exception, though, at any sort of argument, and I'll read that article that you referenced, but I do take great exception to any kind of nuances about the way the Trump introduced the vaccine or the type of the category of the vaccine. All vaccines are poison, okay? This is so well established, I don't know why anybody could possibly doubt it. It's been well established by many people on this network, including Giuseppe, who has said, of course, that no vaccine has ever been safe or effective. The whole thing has been a fraud from the start. So to promote any vaccine, in my opinion, is criminal. And we know that the death rate is much higher than what's been reported on VAERS. And one of the other hosts on Revolution Radio just recently took like 15 or 20 minutes. It was quite somber and solemn. And he just read right from the VAERS database. He just read description after description of people getting ill and dying. And these are just the ones that are reported. Okay. I wish we had more time on this show, but this whole blood clotting thing is mainly due to the body's being drained of electricity and immune response. When the body has sufficient charge, the red blood cells are charged and they repel each other so they don't clot. So this all has to do with the magnetic and electromagnetic functioning of the body and our ability to take in electrons, which comes from two sources, from being outdoors, and also if anybody, I sent out this movie called Earthing, talked about walking barefoot, absorbing electrons from the earth, which nobody does anymore, and then many other ways that we get electrons. And so all this really is a toxological attack upon us. All this stuff is toxological and electromagnetic in nature. I don't think that we have anything biologically to fear. All they're doing is poisoning us, and the proof of it is that all these blood clots are occurring, and again, when you have a properly functioning system with proper pH balance and a proper amount of what I call operational voltage, go online and watch Healing is Voltage by Dr. Jerry Tennant, and this explains this. So people are dying because they have an overwhelming toxic load, and that's what's causing all these blood clots because the blood is not sufficiently charged and the cells are not repelling each other. So,
Paul, you get around and you pick up a lot, and I think the vast majority of your delivery is highly intelligent and well reasoned. Let me ask, what can the public do about the situation we're in? What, in your opinion, can be done to save the nation?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That's a much broader question, and we don't have time. But I did attend Judy Mikovits' talk this Saturday at the Calvary Church here in San Jose, one of the few churches that stayed open. And it was absolutely wonderful to see. There was probably 1,000-plus unmasked people all sitting any distance apart that they wanted to, listening to her and Ken Heckenlivey talk about this very issue. And actually, Judy Mikovits did field a question in the lengthy question and answer period about what Luc Montagnier said. And she said, according to her, because she had a personal conversation with him, that what he said was taken out of context and misquoted. And the other thing that I noticed about the Q&A session is Judy Mikovits fielded a lot of questions from people about what do I do because a friend or a family member has already taken the vaccine. And of course, she just said, whatever you do, don't take any other shots. Do all the other normal natural remedies that she has on her site and talks about the various ways to boost your own immune system. And, you know, the question you just asked me, Jim, is a phenomenal question, and it deserves a roundtable discussion of 3 hours with many people other than myself. But I'll leave it at this. I've made the point many times. I don't think there's any electoral way out of this. I think they are trying to promote violence. And on their part, I think it's be careful what you wish for. Because despite the ignorance of most people about Trump and who he really is, they are going to righteously piss off enough people. And in my opinion, I think that might be a good thing. And I kind of hope it happens because we need people to be pissed off.
Yeah, well, I think this idea of indicting him for criminality by the 4th of July is as outrageous as it gets. Alex Jones has been reporting that's the agenda. I would be surprised if David Knight were taking exception to that report. Meanwhile, we have Bruce from Texas on the line. Bruce, join us. Your thoughts from Texas.
Yeah, hi guys. Yeah, no arguments on either of the aisle right here for me. I just want to piggyback on Paul's comment about the church. Did anybody see the Indianapolis 500 yesterday?
No, I missed it. Tell us about it. I read a story about the winner.
Yeah, it was an exciting race. Very popular driver, Elio Castroneves, won. And he's known for, he started climbing the fences after his first win at Indianapolis. To see the crowd, let the crowd see him. And he did that again. And if you look at photos on the internet from the press, you see a mass of people all happy and cheering, and not one of them is wearing a mask. So the social distancing and mask wearing was just blown out of the water yesterday. That was good to see, you know.
I think the whole masquerade has fallen apart. I think virtually the whole country says to hell with a mask at this point in time. They've been on both sides of the issue. And, I think finally jettisoning where the CDC changed its recommendation is having a powerful effect. I don't think it's reversible. I don't think you'll get the country back to wearing masks, though there's still going to be some establishments that are going to require them. Further thought, Bruce, I think that was a very astute observation.
Yeah, I've noticed there's a certain demographic that will continue wearing masks, mostly older black women, and not so much with black men. And maybe, they have reason to do so. I don't know. I've seen that it's actually heavyweight black women that are older or just in poor health tend to fall more from the COVID than most people. So I'm a firm believer in freedom of choice. If they want to wear it, that's up to them. It's may not be helping them, might be hurting them. But also, I've seen stores here that, masks are optional now. So it's moving in the right direction. And
well, you're in Texas, a good state. You're in a good state. Texas, Florida have been leading the way. We have another caller here from the 412 area code. 412, caller, please join the thanks, Bruce. Join the conversation. Scaredy.
Hi, Jim. This is Scaredy. Hi, also to Danny and Paul from California. Bye to Bruce from Texas. So I do want to say happy Memorial Day to everybody. And let's remember this is the holiday that kicks off America's traditional season of summer fun. And, we finally pack away our heavy jackets and bring out our breezy, cool summer white cotton shirts. And to just say the double P in happy stands for perfect picnics, which is exactly what good food, good family, good friends. And so even though, Jim, you said beautifully, you said you have served with pride, honor and responsibility, and this which is natural, of course, you have done it in a distinguished way. All of humanity, we have pride and joy in our life and the people we have in what we do for them, cook good food, earn our living in an honest, respectable way. And instead, our this pride, honor, and respectability, PHR, has been replaced by PCR, polymerase chain reaction, fake. What is happening is instead of PHR, pride, honor, and respectability, and responsibility, we have instead punishment of our human family. And also of our worlds, our beautiful earth, by all this plastic garbage masks and plexiglass counters, punishing our earth, punishment by the cheating rats. That's the real PCR. So we have to remember to get back to PHR, which is what you said. And just about President Donald Trump, he's in the past, Jim. He did a great thing. I would think even, I would even say he might very well be our, I consider him almost the best president who ever lived, because he did this one massive action of goodness for humanity, which is reveal the fake media worldwide. And now all he can do, I mentioned to you before that Brother Nathaniel thinks he should go into hiding because his life is in danger. And everything he is doing to promote this, I call it the semi-lethal injection for the COVID or COVID, more likely, because of Albert Bourla, et cetera, of the Pfizer Corporation, who are all Jews. All he's doing is saving his life. He's saving his 8 grandchildren and his sons and daughters by just, now he has nothing left to do but promote what the Jews want. And this is their COVID injection that, first of all, they always make money coming and going. They're making money by giving the shot. And then secondly, by the harm it does, they're going to make money by possessing our property and our deeds to our land when we get harmed.
Scaredy, it's so wonderful you called in. I thought your message was perfect for Memorial Day. I'm very pleased that Bruce and Paul called in. Danny, I want to give you the final word. It'll be short, but your closing thought, my friend.
Well, you know, the United States, sir, we're in real trouble. We got corruption everywhere from the, you know, the COVID vaccine. They're creating distraction everywhere to try and force people on this injection. And we know what's going on with this injection and how poison it is. And I pray for everybody out there that's listening that they can get through to their friends and family to stay away from this vaccine so we can ride this thing out, you know, and be on the right side of this. You know, those that get vaccinated, those that don't, the ones that have, I feel, are getting ready to pay a very severe price, along with the ones that have already paid that price. And I hope it doesn't go any farther, sir.
Wonderful having you on, Danny. I want to wish everyone out there a terrific Memorial Day. Spend with family and friends. We don't know how many more opportunities we're going to have. I wish you well. And I say, in spite of being an agnostic, God bless America. Thank you all for listening.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, 3 sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, 3 perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was